drop your expectations, show up as give it your genuine best self. Like if you can commit to doing one thing, it's just to showing up as that person every single day. And to really visualize what kinds of things does that person do? Who do I want to be in this world? Because it all starts with who we're being.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast. I am so excited today. We have one of the most amazing people that I've just met who gives off awesome energy, electric vibes, Wade Bruffy. Wade, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Andy. I'm thrilled to be here with you. And I just want to echo that sentiment. You are an amazing person. I'm so happy that we've been connected. I feel like there's so much opportunity for us to get out there and help people change their life and help the leaders that we interact with every day support people in doing that also. And we're going to talk a lot about that on this episode, I feel like.
We are. And we got to give a shout out to Jennifer Jane Young, who put us together. Who I was connected with from Megan Miller. It's like both of those are people who, like you said to me, and I echoed the sentiment in that, you know, anytime I get a recommendation from someone in that tribe, it just, you just don't doubt that it's going to be great. So
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. They have a remarkable ability to do that. So we'll have to link them in the show notes.
Definitely, definitely. Because we want to make sure we're spreading the love. So Wade, you know, there's just so much junk going on out in the world today, and it's easy to get caught up in all the negative. I like to start out asking my guests, what's the most positive thing you see right now?
Well, thank you for asking me that question, Andy, because that is something so important. And I always tell people, it's very easy to focus on what we don't want. And guess what? What we focus on, we get more of. So I think this is a powerful question. So thanks for asking it. And this is just very top of mind. My startup, we've been looking at how we can integrate GPT-4 into our system. And so I've been just like, I was on a conference call yesterday with some of the founders of the tech platform that we use. And they were showcasing all these different AI apps that people have built on the system. And the thing that made me so excited is that this technology, in my view, has the potential to make our lives so much easier. And I do think that at the societal level, it's going to bring about some much needed change. Like, I feel like as these tools become available for us to, like, for example, one of them, which I tried out yesterday, is a tool which you can feed in a video, like a podcast recording or a YouTube video, and it will analyze the video, that transcribe it, and then create a blog post out of it.
Wow.
And the whole process takes 8 minutes.
Wow.
And it was pretty good. Like, obviously the blog post is written by a algorithm, so it's not perfect. Like, there were some things I was like, okay, well, I'll change this here and change this here. But I was just astounded that this is able to process something like this so fast. And the thing that makes me happy to see about that is that we are going to be coming into an era where we need to rethink what the role of people in our organizations and in our work culture and in our society are. Because if we have these super powerful tools, which can automate some of this stuff that we're currently spending a lot of time doing, it takes the humans out of the like robotic, we need to just edit this and like transcribe it and type out all the words, to like, how can we be thinking about conveying this message as clearly as possible, or making sure that we can present multiple perspectives on this topic, because it gives us the opportunity to do more critical thinking. And I think that that's something that's missing from so many people's work, is that they feel like they're a robot, that they're a cog in the machine. And that is not fulfilling for anybody, really, I don't think. But so that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, I love that viewpoint, because you're actually taking the fear of robots taking over, and you're actually saying, but wait, you're actually being more of a robot right now by doing this menial task. And if we can give that to the robot, now you have more control with the critical thinking and the fact that you're actually saying, how many perspectives and viewpoints can we have on this situation now by looking at the data that's laid out that we're letting the computer do the work for?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm excited.
That's cool. It's good to be excited about technology and changes. I think there's this instinct to fear everything that could go wrong with it. But if you look back over time, yeah, there's going to be shifts. There's going to be some headaches and some pain points, I'm sure. But, you know, when they introduced robots in factories and when they introduced, you know, computers to do different things, everyone, the immediate fear is, what will humans do? It's like, well, we can live a better life. We can do other things.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's no doubt in my mind, like I follow this stuff. I'm a total nerd. We've talked about this. And I geek out on this stuff, which I love because I love technology and I'm super into it. And I've made it a big part of my life. And what will be important as we move forward is to be thinking about how can we create better systems for each other, like the human systems that we rely on. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've even, you know, made my startup out of this, because we need to be focused on not letting people fall behind from when these technologies come about, because there will be some people that don't get it. We need to make sure that what we're doing is having, we need to control for the downsides, because surely there will be some. And, you know, it could be argued that at the beginning, social media, everybody thought, well, wow, this is really cool. And then we realized like there actually are some downsides to this. So right. Not discounting like the work that our culture and society and our professionals and our businesses and our government need to do to make sure that we're doing stuff like this, to make sure we're controlling for those downsides. But by and large, like the opportunity is massive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's what I try to focus on. And I would encourage anybody listening to focus on that too. Cause like we said, if we focus on the negative, we tend to get more of it.
Yeah. And that's so key to remember. I didn't understand that till later in life than I wish that I did, where it's like, oh, if I'm thinking about all the things that are going wrong in my day, all the things that could go wrong. I have a very analytical mind where I am kind of looking ahead to what the problems could be. And I have to sometimes explain to people that I've actually started to say, I'm not trying to shoot holes in your situation. I'm trying to make it the best it can be. And so here's questions that I have about how do we embrace this, make it as good as it can be based on the things that I'm saying. Could this go wrong? Could that go wrong? It's not a, oh my God, the sky is falling mindset.
Right. Right. That is effective, Andy, what you just said right there. Like looking at the possible downsides and controlling for those, but mostly focusing on like, we are trying to make this as good as we possibly can. And that's the guiding, that's the North Star.
Right. But sometimes I feel like that can be taken. If you're questioning all this stuff, people can take it the wrong way if you don't put that out there first and say, nope.
So true.
This is the reason why
we're putting it out there.
Yeah, exactly. It's because I want this to work for you. It's not because I'm trying to shoot.
Exactly.
I was having a conversation with my son about some different options he was looking at for career path. And after about the third thing that I said, but what about this? And I had to stop myself and say, I just want you to know, I'll support whatever you do. I'm behind it. I'm just making sure these questions are in your head. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a beautiful example, man.
Yeah. So Wade, this is awesome. I could geek out on this for hours. The whole AI.
Totally. Me too.
It's new. I never even talked about it till the last 3 or 4 weeks. And all of a sudden it's just everywhere, because that's what I'm focusing on right now. But we're here to find out about your awkward. The world wants to know. I want to know, what is that awkward thing you've really had to own in order to get where you're at today?
Yeah, I'm you know, Andy, I think as I have developed as a coach, I've learned that vulnerability is powerful. And I think for a long time, I wasn't super comfortable with that. I think that this is happening for a lot of young men in particular, and maybe not in particular, but it is happening for a lot of young men, and maybe particular for men. We don't always feel like we can share our feelings. Right. And have you experienced that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, in the culture that I grew up in, it was always kind of like the guy that's a sensitive guy is not quite the man. You know, you're not
exactly
not at the same level that you should be. You're supposed to be this, you know, the symbols of of masculinity are strength, courage, bravery, and those don't relate to sharing your feelings.
You're exactly right. Well said. And I feel like I had a kind of interesting upbringing. My parents are, my mom in particular she really has always stressed, like as long as I can remember, emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So when my brother and I were little kids, she enrolled us in a school that had a social emotional curriculum as part of the learning that they were doing with young kids, which today I'm immensely grateful for, because I know how to listen to somebody and I know how to connect to people in a way that I learned from a very young age. It is important to like understand how to figure out our feelings and how to talk about our feelings and what they mean. And like, I have more tools to navigate that. And that being said, I do feel like that made me more of like the sensitive and intuitive and empathic person. And when I would go into like sports teams with kids that didn't go to the same school as me or something like that, you know, I would feel like, boy, I need to like be a different version of myself in order to fit in. Like I need to be this tough guy and like make sure that I'm, you know, doing everything right so that they accept me. And so that was tough. And I felt like I was always trying to be, what they expected instead of what I wanted to be. And I feel like that has, you know, has been something that I've realized. You know, I've done some amount of plant medicine work. And one of the shamans that I've worked with said to me, she goes, let me ask you something. Did you feel like you fit in when you were a kid? And I was like, no, I didn't. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing a little survey because I feel like a lot of people that come to this spiritual development work have had this experience in their life and they want to figure out like, why am I here? Like, what am I doing with my life? And so, you know, I honestly feel like if you're out there listening to this podcast and you're feeling like you don't quite fit in, that is a really beautiful thing, because what you are acknowledging is that you are one of one. There's nobody like you. Your message is your message. And Andy and I can learn all we want and become masters at what we do, but we'll never be able to say it quite the way that you can say it.
Right.
So I think that's a really beautiful thing.
It is. And I would be really curious to see the results of that survey, because I don't know that I've met anybody yet who really has felt like they fit in. You know, like,
yeah,
like I feel like there's this illusion of what fitting in is, and we all are trying to jump into it. You know, that's very amazing that your mother put you into a school that got you that far ahead. It's from the emotional intelligence standpoint. I didn't even know that, you know, there have been schools like that around.
Yes. It was a really profound experience. I'm exceptionally grateful for it. My mom is to this day is like one of my biggest teachers. She, every time I go on my Instagram, there's tons of good like posts that are about, you know, development, personal growth. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think one of the advantages that I do have being in this industry is that I just think about this stuff all the time because it's been in my family for so long.
It's just ingrained.
So, yeah.
Well, I want to go to that moment where you were standing there trying to, you know, looking at these guys doing sports and all this stuff. And you're now in a different place because you start out in the school where you're just ingrained with the, you know, being aware and being empathetic and where it's almost accepted to be that way. And then you step into a world where you're like, wait, this is the image of masculinity, or this is the image of being the guy. How were you feeling in that moment when you saw that? Like, did it take you a long time to step into that space and be vulnerable, or did you clam up for a while? I know there's situations where I'm just not going to talk to anybody for a while until I figure this out.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Andy. I've never really thought about how long it took me. I guess like what one of the things that I think of myself as a person, and maybe this is just especially when I was a kid trying to keep myself safe. Like I'm very aware of other people's perceptions and like their opinions, for better or worse, you know what I mean? So I think back then when I would notice that people were like thinking of me negatively, like my reaction was super fast.
Okay.
I was able to just like snap at it, like snap into something, even if that wasn't really authentic for me. There was that, I have that ability to just be very morphous. Like I just would change. And so, I think what I learned is that being in that position of, not being quite sure how I wanted to show up in a situation, it always led me to kind of like not being 100% sure of my decisions. And so like even though I might have been on the outside seeming like everything is going great and like I'm cool and I'm fitting in,
Right.
there was really that strong undercurrent of I'm a little bit insecure. And only recently, really in the past like handful of months, have I been really like finally feeling like, okay, I just am who I am and I'm not going to apologize for it anymore. And there was a situation where I ran into somebody that I knew years ago, and this person always was kind of like too cool for school. And I was just like, you know what? There's no reason that I should be less than 100% confident around this person. And that's just the thing that I had to let, but my reaction was, ah, like I felt that awkwardness, that insecurity came up, but I was like, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore. I'm okay. And I just gave myself an internal big hug. I was
I
like,
love
you're doing
that.
great, dude. Keep it up.
Right. Yeah, I'm here with you, self. I
Exactly. Yes, that's
love
exactly
that.
right.
One thing I think is really important that you mentioned there is that this was recent. Like you came to terms with this a
Yeah.
long time ago. But it's not like you're cured and then you just never have that feeling again. Like you
Yeah.
then that moment pops back up and you say, wait, no, I'm not that person anymore. I'm not stuck in that mind space.
In my last year of college, I started meditating a lot. And one of the things that I learned from my meditation teachers, and I've been meditating now for 6 years. And as a meditator, what you learn is that it's not about getting rid of the thing that is coming into your awareness. Like if you have a particular physical sensation or a thought that is recurring and it's not helpful, like we all, I mean, in some way or another have these thoughts that aren't
Sure.
helpful. So let's use that for an example. The meditation is not about eliminating that thought. It's about realizing that it's just a thought and it's just going to pass you by. So it's
Okay.
you may never get rid of it. And in fact, I really haven't gotten rid of, I maybe it's there are some things that I have let go of so many times and just acknowledged what they are, which is temporary, that now I start to notice them. I hardly notice them at all. But
Wow.
that's one of the most powerful realizations that I've had with that practice is that it's not about eliminating it. It's about learning to respond to it differently. And in doing so, maybe at some point you will, but that's beside the point because it doesn't matter because you've changed the relationship.
Yeah, I love that idea of changing the relationship. And that's one of the premises when I talk about owning your awkward. It's not about I got over it, I moved on. I was successful, even though I have this thing. It's like, no, I learned how to take this thing and make it work for me or embrace it or let it just be what it is and have that. It's just
Yeah.
part of us.
And there's a lot of power in that, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. It's, when you realize that you've got that too cool for school guy walking up to you, and the moment that you realize that you're the one giving them all that power in your head,
Yes.
all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I can take that away.
Man, that is such a good way of putting it, Andy, because you're right. We are the ones that give away our power.
Yeah, and that's a lesson that I learned way later in life. There's so many things where I'm just like, if I would have known this, if I would have known all these lessons I have right now when I was 18, man, just I would have been a powerhouse from right out of the gate, but I wouldn't have lived the life. Like I wouldn't have had the experiences, I wouldn't have gone through the struggles, and that's what I've needed to get to where I'm at today. And so,
Yeah.
that's not how it works.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I have a little project that I've been incubating, and it is a book for young people. And I want to include voices. So we're going to have to talk about this again, because I think like that idea, the reason that I'm inspired to write the book is because of the challenges that I overcame in my young adulthood.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people, as we were just talking about, are silently struggling with those things. And so to produce something that will address them and in a way that is approachable, and to say like, hey, we've been there. You're not
right.
Like, we're not special.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My thing is, if I can help somebody figure it out a year sooner, a decade sooner, a day sooner, it doesn't matter. Just if you can learn a little bit from what I've experienced and the people that I'm talking to, that just makes my day. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Awesome. I'm excited and looking forward to it. So Wade, how has it felt since you realized that, how has it changed your life when you encounter these situations? Maybe it's that same guy, maybe it's a new person. What's that like?
Wow. I think the thing that I feel more than anything right now, Andy, is just a sense of being very at peace with where I am and very, very confident, to be honest. Like it's a sense of really potent energy and strength. And I feel like I can go into a situation and no matter what, the trust that I have in myself is the thing that is going to take me through. And I might fall flat on my face, but I know that I will get up. Like that's the promise that I've made to myself.
Right.
And I going full time into entrepreneurship has also taught me that a lot. Like the thing that separates the people who are successful from the people who aren't successful is your willingness to pick yourself up and dust yourself off. Because I'm sure you experienced this at some level as well, but entrepreneurship is constantly picking yourself up and dusting yourself
definitely.
Off.
Definitely. Yeah. Even this morning, I'm just like, okay, on to the next thing.
Yeah, literally, literally. Yeah. I mean, it is a full contact sport, so to say. You will get knocked down.
Right. No, I love that. And it's a good reminder that that it's not that you'll never run into a problem again. It's like, I'm never going to have issues. I'm this new person. I'm renewed. I know how to deal with it when it comes up, and I'm never going to trip. It's that, no, it's when I trip, I know how to pull myself up, or I'll pull myself up maybe a little faster than I did last time or to a higher level.
Yeah. Precisely. And there, I think the thing that I hope that the listeners who are striving towards this and thinking that they're on this path are going to take away is that to just trust yourself. And that's the only commitment that you need to make, is to just the one that you make to yourself.
Right.
Is to say, like, I promise myself that no matter what, I have my own back.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
There's so much confidence and self-love and everything that comes through that.
Definitely.
That's what I think.
No, I couldn't agree more. One of the things that I constantly hear from people, and it's a big fear, is what other people think and how are people going to take me if I change who I am. So I'm curious, have you experienced or what have you encountered when you, maybe you had people where you were having to be that fake person before, where you're having those quick responses, and then when you re-encounter them or you stop doing that, how did that happen? What were those interactions like with them? Did you have people be like, who are you? This is not the Wade we know.
Yeah, that I love that. It's funny. I'll tell two parts that I can say from, I'll say from my personal experience, but I was literally helping a client with this earlier this week. And she was feeling very stuck. And what I said in my own experience and, giving some coaching to this person was, why do you care what the people who don't like it, like, why does that matter?
Right.
And so then you have a separate question to ask yourself, like, why am I giving away my power to these people? Because like you said, that's all we're doing is saying, like, their opinion of me matters more than me doing what my heart is calling me to do. And so why is that happening for me? And everybody maybe has a slightly different answer to that question, but the coaching question that I had for my client was, what would you prefer? A community that needs you to be a certain way, or a community that celebrates who you are?
Wow. That's a great question to think about.
And she's like, "Well, that's an easy one." I was like, "Well,
Right.
then you have
Yeah,
there is your
exactly.
answer." Now it's just you having to like, and I made her write an affirmation that was saying to her, she calls it her inner roommate, that's trying to keep her safe, you know, because we have that social animal
Yeah.
piece of us that's like, don't stand out too much or you might get ostracized, but
Right.
that's what we need. So, yeah.
No, I love that. That question is so powerful because not only does it make you think about what kind of space you want to be living in, but it reminds you, by using that word community, it reminds you that you will find the community. Because that's the first thing I thought of is when I heard that question was, yeah, if this community doesn't accept me for who I am, I will migrate towards and attract a community that does by being myself.
Yeah, exactly. And I also said, you know, as we grow and evolve, things that don't fit our new self, like the things, like when you're a little kid, right? You're growing really fast and you can't wear the same clothes. Like this is a thing for new parents. You've gone through this process. I just see it for my friends that are all now having kids and that they need new baby clothes all the time because the kids are growing. And it's the same thing as we go through no longer a physical evolution, but a personal evolution. So as we shift and change, those things no longer fit us. And it's just like clothes. Like, you know, I don't know who originated this saying, but it's that people are either in your life for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime. I don't know where that came from. I think I heard it from Sean Stevenson first, the Model Health Show podcast. But you know, I just think there's so much freedom in acknowledging that these things in our life are going to transform, and there let no energy is ever destroyed in the universe. Everything is just transformed. That's a law of thermodynamics, I think it is.
Yeah, it's just like liquid. Like there's no less water ever. It just changes from one to the other, which is just a more physical way to see it.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, it's like, well, it might be ice one day or steam another day, but it's still here.
Yep.
It's never leaving. No, I think that's beautiful. The idea that we can, shift that energy and take it in a direction we want, or decide what to accept in. When you mentioned her inner roommate, I love that thought because I've heard different ways to describe that voice in our head. Sometimes it's a bully, sometimes it's the bad guy, just the mean guy in your head. I actually just finished reading a book by Valerie Gordon called Fire Your Narrator. And it's all about what's the narrator in
Yes.
your head, what's the voice in your head. And she talks about having, 10 different variations of a narrator. Sometimes it's, pumping us up too much and we need to be like, oh, I'm getting a little cocky. And sometimes it's beating us down. And so we need to be aware of what combination we have. But I haven't heard it mentioned like a roommate. And that's such a great way to say it because you're right. Sometimes they're protecting you, sometimes they're getting mad at you for leaving a mess on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. That's super funny. I know she is a brilliant coach. I'll introduce you to her as well. Yeah,
Awesome.
you will get along for sure.
So that leads me to the next thought of is there a voice in your head still?
Oh man, of course there is. And I think the thing with the voice in my head now is that I mean, it's a daily event where I talk to the voice in my head. And I think the thing that I have really endeavored to do, and that I encourage others to endeavor to do, is to develop a way of speaking back to that voice. And the way that you do that is by training your mind. And so, like, for example, like even last night, like I woke up and I in it like out of sleep, and I was like, I'm really feeling like and we're talking about getting knocked down in entrepreneurship. Like it was an existential, I must have been having a really bad dream. So it was like, nothing is going right. You're like, you're wasting time, like all this stuff. Like I have everything, like things are going great. And what I realized is I was like, you're my subconscious right now is in a battle because I am having expectations of what should be happening instead of being present with the process of what is happening.
Yeah. Wow, that's a
And if I didn't have the mental training though, to when I wake up out of a nightmare and to say to myself, this is what's happening for you right now, and that's not serving you, like that you're putting expectations on yourself that aren't, why would you do that? You're making this little box and you're saying you're not in the box. So therefore it's not going well. So, but you need to immerse yourself in the waking hours, probably, that in disciplines and in learning and in ways that you can, start to address some of this stuff when it does come up. Because if you don't have that training, it's going to derail you.
I love that you call out training your mind because we, you know, we sometimes become a slave to our thoughts and our and whatever we're processing instead of taking that step back and saying, wait, this is what I want to be thinking. And that image of waking up from a dream is so powerful because, you know, we're not consciously able to control your thoughts while you're sleeping. So whatever is happening in the back of your mind during the day is now in the forefront of your mind while you're sleeping. And how many times have we all woken up in this alternate reality with the feeling is there of like the train's gonna hit us, gonna run us over, or I just went bankrupt, or there's a psycho killer chasing me. And you wake up and you have to regroup and think, wait, that's not what's happening. But then you wonder, okay, well, what's going on in my head that's making me feel that way?
And once again, that inner roommate, part of their job is to keep us safe. And so that's what it does. It tells you that things are going, like our brain is a prediction engine. Really, we're talking about like machine learning models. All they do is predict the next word in this in the string based on the likelihood of it being the right word. And that's what our brain does. It's
Yeah, and we don't
really,
even
really good at
understand
it.
it. Like we don't even know how that works, but it works.
Yeah, exactly. It kept us from not getting eaten for a long time.
Yeah, and hopefully still for a lot longer if we do it right. Yeah. So Wade, we've touched on the fact that you are an entrepreneur, you've got your business going. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'd love to. The thing that I am focused on right now is developing better systems for coaching at work. A big shift that I see happening in the business world is that employees are more interested in developing than they've ever been. People who are at a workplace expect that workplace to be doing something for them, in addition for them doing something for the work. And more so than ever, people want to be connected to a sense of purpose and a sense of, I care about this myself, so that's why I'm going to show up to do work. And a lot of companies don't have systems in place to really purposefully develop people. And that's not really of any fault of their own. It's just that these tools don't super exist everywhere. There are some approximations of them. There's pretty robust tools out there for goal setting at all levels of the organization, and people are really excited about the potential of AI to do skills-based analysis and figure out who's good at what, and those things are really exciting. But the current offerings for coaching in the workplace right now are really centered around bringing an external coach in and offering that as more of a wellness benefit to people at work. And my business partners and I, we think that that is missing a potential opportunity for the business. We think that every manager in a business, anybody who works with other people, should be capable of learning some coaching and being able to support somebody in their work. And what we find in the highest performing organizations today are that they practice things like agile, where they're making small teams that are very cross-functional. And maybe you're bringing in somebody from the product team, somebody from the engineering team, somebody from the marketing team, somebody from the shipping team, somebody from all these different teams coming together to make a finished product and to get that product to a market. And so in that type of environment, there is somebody who in each department, so to say, somebody whose responsibility it is to develop the other people, to make sure that the people that are on their team are finding success. And the people who are, they don't, it's not like that's their only job a lot of the time, but they're what we call the player coach. So that is
Gotcha.
somebody who has responsibilities of their own, and they're also tasked with developing the people in the organization that are still learning those skills. So what our software does, gomobi.work, is it supports the person in that role. We help our customers develop a coaching program. We help them tailor it specifically to the things that make their business unique. And then we help them with the tools that our software provides to deploy that coaching protocol and to gather insights over time as the coaching protocol is used into what's going well, what people are struggling with what. So it helps to provide a better, not only employee experience because they feel like they're getting this better support. It helps the managers do their job better. It makes the company more effective. It makes everybody do their best work. It helps everybody do their best work. And the business at the organization-wide level and at the C level, you're getting the insights into what can we be doing, what can we be modifying, and really the effect of that at the on the on the whole network is that people are very empowered and they're feeling like we are very much in the driver's seat. We know what we need to do to be effective, and we're able to support people in getting better at those things.
That's an amazing tool. I mean, I appreciate that whole rundown because I've been in so many situations over my career where someone is promoted because they are good at a task, and so then they are moved on to
Right.
manager. It's like, okay, you're a good salesperson, so now you are a sales manager. It's like, well, you may be good at sales, but you may not be good at managing people or coaching people, which is even more important than the managing of the people. Or, you're good on the production line, so now you're the shift supervisor. It's like, well, those are two different skill sets. And if I'm hearing what you're explaining the right way, if I have when I have my business and I've got, 10 different department heads, your software is going to basically help me empower those people to say, hey, I've promoted you to this role. Here's this thing that's going to help you learn how to coach your people and help you be a better coach so that you can actually run your department and actually move people along and give them that purpose and fulfillment.
Exactly. And oh, by the way, those tools are all customized completely to every organization.
Wow.
So we don't believe that we have all the answers. We believe that every business has its own answers, and it's our delight and our software's ability to bring those to the surface and then help everybody that's in that management role understand how to develop people in those areas. So one of the things that we do that's built into the system is this idea of guiding principles. And what we think of guiding principles as are in what they're descriptions of our best work in practice. So what we always ask clients is, if we were to walk into your business, if everything was going, we like to use the word crushing it. If you all are crushing it in this particular thing, what kinds of things do we see? What kinds of things do we hear? What do we experience when we're in this environment? And so that gets them thinking about the practices that go into optimal work product. And so once you have those ideas become very coachable. So then you're giving the people who are in this role something to work with, because a great coaching program has a target. Great coaching is not, how's your day going, Andy? You have an idea when somebody comes in what they need to do in order to get from where they are to where they need to be, or to where they want to be, really. So.
Exactly. Well, and I think that that's critical that it's so tailored because I've been in organizations and I've seen organizations where they say, we've hired this product, we're bringing this outside person, and this is what we need to do, but it isn't at all tied to the culture of the company. It's not related necessarily to the mission of the company. And so things are off, and then you don't get the results.
Exactly right, Andy. And the thing that so many companies, I admire them for this. I think so many companies are have the best of intentions, and this has been our experience. They have the best of intentions. Their leadership is saying, I care so much about these core values. Why is this not happening in my company? And so there are so many different, and it's because they don't have the tools to make sure that these core values are implemented. And so that's a, there's a book by Ben Horowitz, and he's a really successful venture capitalist. And he talks about how this idea in founders that a lot of the time that they think that the culture of their business is going to scale just because they're still the CEO. Not true. He talks about all the ways that that is not true in his book. And it's because you need systems. You need systems. You need structures as the business begins to scale in order to make sure that things are, that everybody is getting the support that they need to do the work in a specific way. And just having those systems in place and building them creates the culture, because then people are saying, we know that these are the things that we're doing, and we all agree that these are excellence behaviors. So that's a whole piece of it that is very powerful for people to take away.
Yeah, and I would imagine that just by bringing the things that are needed from the companies you're working with, you get so much more buy-in on the whole program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is literally foundational. That's the number one thing that we address to everybody is, we are here to help you, to give you a structure, like a little, almost by like paint by numbers. Like you fill in here, like this is what you're gonna do, but you use the paint, like the paint is 100% in yours. That's all we're not, we give you the outline and you fill in what works for you.
That's awesome. And I think that, it's great to think that we could have this hand holding one-on-one, we're going to come in and sit down with every single person from the CEO is going to meet everybody, but that's not scalable. And as the company gets bigger, you have to have things in place to get as close to that level of connection as possible. And that's where this seems like such a great tool.
You're exactly right. We certainly are glad to see that it's working for people, and we hope that it continues to be successful for others that try it out.
I love that. So what's the best way that our listeners and viewers can support you and help get this message out there?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Andy. I would be so grateful if people would head over to our LinkedIn page, and every week my co-founder and I, Zoltan, he and I sit down and we do a weekly coaching conversation. So we talk about all topics in coaching. We tailor it towards something that you can take action towards today. You don't have to buy anything from us. Like, we'll show you how to do it. You don't have to use our tool. We'll just explain how we think about stuff. And it's a completely free Zoom, and we host it every week. So it would be great to see your listeners in that Zoom. Go to our LinkedIn page, GoMobi, GoMobi.work. That's our LinkedIn page. Follow us on LinkedIn. We are constantly posting there. And if you want to sign up for our software, you'll find a link on that page as well. And we'd love to have Own Your Awkward guests or listeners
Excellent.
in the orbit as well, because it's really it's been really exciting. And I think the people who come into it with the idea that like this software won't work if you have a fixed mindset. If you believe that you're that people can grow and change and become better, welcome to the team. And if you don't think that that's possible, I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise.
And Wade, that's what I love about having people like you on is that I feel like our audiences and our targets really align well, where it's like we're here to make the world a better place through developing people, helping people find their best selves, and that's what you're doing.
Thanks, Andy. Likewise.
So before we go, I just got to ask, I got to put you on the spot for one more question. You've
Yeah,
given us so many
sure.
good things,
I love
but
it.
what would you wrap up with? Just some advice on how people can own their awkward.
Man, that's a great question. To anybody listening, I just want to reiterate that your message is uniquely you, and that everything that you do is in some way an act of service to the world, to somebody else. So drop your expectations, show up as, give it your genuine best self. Like if you can commit to doing one thing, it's just to showing up as that person every single day, and to really visualize what kinds of things does that person do? Who do I want to be in this world? Because it all starts with who we're being. And if you can get really clear on what that person does and what that person is like, and you know, who cares what anybody else thinks? If you start to become the version of yourself that you're meant to be, some things that are too small for you are going to fall away. And guess what? You get some new clothes. And that's, in my opinion, always fun.
So who doesn't want a new outfit?
Exactly. Love a new outfit. So that's my recommendation. I think just to be gentle with yourself and to realize that you are perfect just the way you are, and that you're able to, you can, that in itself is enough. And anything you want to do is just an expression of that to the world. And so I think that that's amazing, and go after it. It takes courage. And that's the other thing. It's just like, just know that Andy and I are out here and we acknowledge the bravery that it takes to do this. And that is something to be really celebrated also. So keep up the great work, everyone.
I love that, Wade. Thank you so much. That's a beautiful reminder, because it does take courage. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Thanks so much. And everybody else, be sure to go out there today and own your awkward.
Yes, you got this, everyone. We thank you for being you.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.